prophecy of Zechariah, and we'll read the first 5 verses. Actually, we'll finish reading at the first part of verse 5, Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 to the first part of verse 5. So reads the word of the living God. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 1. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. And so I said, "Where are you going?" And he said to me, "To measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length." And there was the angel who talked with me going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to him, "Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I, says Jehovah, will be a wall of fire all around her." Well, we are considering this prophecy that is given to Zechariah, the son of Iddo, just after the return of the exiles from Babylon. And while they're full of joy and delight to be back in the promised land, they're decimated. And they have much opposition from the people around them. And in the midst of this, the Lord Jehovah raises up prophets along with Zechariah. And when it comes to Zechariah, he gives him a series of visions. The first vision, of course, is in chapter 1, verses 7 to 17. And it is in relation and to the condition of Jerusalem and the people inhabiting there, where the angel cries, saying, "How long will you not show mercy to Jerusalem?" And in response, the Lord comforts them and gives them words of grace and comfort so that they might trust in Jehovah's goodness to them after the time of chastisement to the future. But of course, we must also bear in mind that chastisement itself is the blessing of God. Remember, we are told in the epistle to the Hebrews that those whom he loves, he rebukes and corrects and chastises. But of course, they're looking to the progress and the prosperity of the people of God. And then we considered the second vision, verses 18 to 21, in which Jehovah says that he will raise up craftsmen or smiths who will terrify those horns that are rising up against Jerusalem and Judah. Well, now we come to the third vision, and it is a building up along the lines of what has already been spoken in the first and the second vision. And the third vision is the vision about a man with a measuring line, verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, "Where are you going?" And he said to me, "To measure Jerusalem and to see what is its width and what is its length. Now, this measuring line is not something that is absolutely new to Zechariah. In the last chapter, chapter 1 and verse 16, remember, this is what we are told. Therefore, thus says Jehovah, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says Jehovah of hosts. And a measuring line or a surveyor's line, same thing, shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. So, the third vision is continuing and building on what was mentioned in the first vision. Now, there's a number of things here that are of comfort and great hope for the people of God. You remember in the 10th verse of chapter 1, Jehovah starts with comfort for the people of God, wherein he says, verse 10, and the man who stood among the myrtle trees and answered and said, these are the ones, that the beings those seated on the horses, these are the ones whom Jehovah has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. How is this a comfort to the people of God? Well, to walk to and fro, the idea that is there is that Jehovah has sent his own beings, the heavenly beings, angels, to patrol the earth, to walk to and fro throughout the whole earth, to assess what the situation is. See, Jehovah is the maker and the sovereign ruler of all the earth. And here is great comfort for little Israel, with the walls broken down, with few that have returned compared to their past history. They have no weaponry at the moment, apart from a few swords and spears, but they have no army, and they're surrounded by those who are at enmity with them. But they're reminded here in this vision that Jehovah is the God of all the earth, and that he is patrolling, surveying, and has knowledge of all that is taking place. Indeed, of course, the rest of the Bible tells us that he ordains these things. What a comfort this is to the people of God in those days and the people of God in every age. We might look around us at the unbelieving world, at the nations of the world, and all the steps and the laws they are passing and the steps they are taking and the words they are bellowing. We might tend to be discouraged as to where all this is going. And remember, Jehovah is patrolling the whole earth. But as we come to chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, he's picking up on another truth which applies especially to the people of God. It's recorded in verse 16, but also in verses 1 and 2, where we are told that Jehovah has appointed someone with a measuring line to measure Jerusalem. Jehovah not only patrols the earth, but he has particular interest in the details of Jerusalem, his people. Remember, the love of God, in the widest sense, includes all his creation. But in the most specific sense, not merely in the sense of patrolling and assessing and even ordaining, but when it comes to his people, he has his beings, the holy angels, who are measuring Jerusalem, dilapidated Jerusalem. Remember, the temple was in ruins. The walls have fallen down. And what they have built, remember what the mockers said, a fox can run over it. It's going to be no protection against the enemies of God. Here's another particular and specific and detailed revelation of comfort for the people of God. Jehovah is the one who assesses his people. It's exactly the same in the New Testament, isn't it? We, of course, refer to this often because it refers to our time, as does Zechariah, but closer to our time. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah Jesus, is doing now in the New Testament period. Then I turned to see the face, turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. In the midst of the lampstands. And you know that the lampstands, we're told there in the book of Revelation itself, are the churches. The churches represent Jerusalem, or you can put it the other way around. The old Jerusalem comprised of the people of God. And it's a picture in the New Testament of the churches of Jesus Christ. Here it is not just holy angels, but the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is in the midst of the churches. He patrols and he assesses the church. It's true to this very day. I mean, when we look at the condition of the churches, we have our assessors, we have our pollsters, both in the world that assess the church and those in the church that have all sorts of ideas, but the only measuring line and the only measurer of these things is the Lord of the church himself. You see, we're not left on our own. Little Halland and the little churches in all of East Sussex and all the counties here in England and throughout the British Isles are not insignificant to the Lord. It's insignificant in herself. But the Lord of the church is in the midst of it. It's a great encouragement for all those who are in the church. It's a great encouragement and comfort to those who are in the church. Paul says that the anxiety of all the churches, and Spurgeon used to pray for such anxiety. In other words, deep concern for the churches. But we must not have the wrong concern as if the Lord will abandon his church if she submits to his word and commits to obeying his word. And this comfort and strengthening is seen here as the Lord speaks to Zechariah, but he also speaks to him about prosperity. See verses 3 and 4. And there was the angel who talked with me going out, another angel coming out to meet him, who said to him, "Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, because of the multitude of the men and livestock in it." Here the picture here is of overflowing prosperity of Jerusalem. Right? So you have to picture what Jerusalem is like when this promise was given. Beaten down and battered and demoralized people with no great army and no great assets and no king, a vassal of the Medo-Persian Empire existing, and even the temple was built because of the mercy of the Medo-Persian king. Of course, Jehovah overruling and providing for them through the Medo-Persian king. But he's comforting them, not only with the vision of one who patrols the earth, but the one who measures and is in the midst of his people of Jerusalem, but the one who promises a great and abundant prosperity for Jerusalem. This again is not something that was not mentioned before. In verse 17 of chapter 1, again proclaim, saying, "Thus says Jehovah of hosts, my city shall again spread out through prosperity." It's overflowing with prosperity, or will be. And Jehovah will again comfort Jerusalem, and Jehovah will again choose Jerusalem. You notice, in the short span of a few verses, he's repeating the same promises to the people of God. If Jehovah takes the trouble of repeating his promises to his disheartened people, should we not realize the importance of repeating God's promises to us in the time of difficulty or trouble, or even when we are locked in the dungeon of giant despair? Repeating the promises of God. A great portion of the scriptures is given in repetition to us. The promises, the warnings, and the blessings and the instructions. My city shall spread out through prosperity, says Jehovah. The town or the city, Jerusalem, shall be inhabited as towns without walls because of the multitude of the men and livestock. And not only will the people flourish, but their wealth will prosper. It reminds you of what Paul says in Ephesians, or to the Ephesians, be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, positionally now. But here he's looking to a time when there will be the fulfillment of it all. And we must remember that we are blessed, that Jehovah is sovereign over all the earth, that he's patrolling the earth. Nothing is out of control. Remember how R.C. Sproul used to put it. There is no maverick molecule in the universe. Every single molecule is under the sovereign control of God. It might seem like that to us, but then what do we know and what do we see? But he has a special and particular concern about Jerusalem, the people of God, the church of God. It's all collective here. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ looks at his disciples and promises them that I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell. The gate in ancient culture, just like we read of Lot sat at the gate, Boaz went to the gate to negotiate the transfer of the heritage of Naomi. The gates of the cities were the places where the important elders and the rulers conducted the business of the city. The gates of hell typifies its wisdom and its power and its strategies. The gates of hell. The devil and his demons shall not prevail against it. So we all have ideas and strategies. But the Lord Jesus will ultimately build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But notice here also in our text how zealous Jehovah is for the prosperity of his people. Verse 4, he says to him, run, speak to this young man. Now he's speaking to one of the angels. The young man here is, without doubt, of course, Zechariah, the prophet. Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as the towns without walls, and it will overflow with prosperity. See it also in verse 14. It says, proclaim and say this, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. See, Jehovah's zeal to accomplish his purposes for his people are white hot. We are often easily discouraged because we forget the promises of God, and we forget the power of God, and we forget the history of God's working throughout the running centuries. And we're lukewarm about our own diligence, and we're lukewarm in our response to Jehovah's promises. But he is white hot with zeal. Jealousy, that is, burning energy to protect and to prosper and to bring about all that he has covenanted to bring about for the blessing of his people and ultimately for the glory of his great name. Run, speak to this young man. And that is for the benefit of the prophet, but it's not only for the benefit of the prophet, because he says, proclaim this saying. This is given and transmitted to the prophet through the angels for the benefit of the entirety of Jerusalem. What are they to proclaim? I'm zealous for Jerusalem with great zeal. How awesome, and I use the word awesome as much as I understand it in the biblical sense, not in the way many people use it, especially in North America these days. Everything is awesome. You make an appointment and they say, oh, awesome. The stupid use of language or use without thinking. But how awesome. And how we should be filled with awe when Jehovah looks down upon us with such great compassion, his zeal for us, his people. Calvin, in the times of his greatest trouble, used to say, it's wonderful to be under the majesty of God. John Owen used to say, should we not be caught up with the zeal for our God when he himself is caught up with great love for us? And may the Lord help us to fall down before him, in our spirits at least, and give thanks to him for his great zeal for us, his people. That he has sovereign control over all things. That everything is measured and controlled by him. And he will bring prosperity in the day of his appointment. And then lastly, look at the absolute protection that Jehovah promises. I want us to remember exactly what Jehovah promises. He promises an overflow of blessings. Jerusalem will spread out. 1:17 and 2:4. Because of the towns and because of their possessions. It reminds you much, or reminds you of the situation of the rich man that Jesus spoke about, who had acquired so much wealth that he was planning to build new barns to accommodate the surplus. And such prosperity is unspeakably good. That's the kind of prosperity that Jehovah is speaking about here. There's a problem with this kind of prosperity. Now look at verse 4 again. Who said to him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. Now a town or a city without walls is vulnerable. And that was the great problem, not only in earlier history, but at this specific time when they came back, Jerusalem's wall had to be built. So what is this? Is this a mixed blessing? Or is this a blessing with weakness inbuilt into it? Well, look at the first part of verse 5. For I, says Jehovah, will be a wall of fire around her. Well, anybody who is acquainted with software knows what a firewall is. We all need protection from attacks. Even the most powerful countries need protection. They call them firewalls, electronic firewalls, of people who are students of modern and ancient warfare and know what a firewall is. And if you think it came from man, it comes here right from Jehovah's own mouth. Why is it that there will be no need for walls? Well, first of all, you can't have walls because of the abundance and the overflow of prosperity. But that does not mean that there is no security, because Jehovah himself, the one who is more fiery than a million trillion suns, will be a firewall around the people of God. You might ask the question, this firewall, this lack of wall, was a problem in Eden, wasn't it? There was no such firewall. Jehovah had allowed Satan to enter. What about the new heavens and the new Jerusalem? Well, it won't be like Eden. Eden was a place of testing. Man was tested in Eden. But in the new Jerusalem, man will be made perfect. There will be no more temptation. There will be prosperity untold. You remember what the Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. That it will be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken. I don't know if you've ever used this kind of measures. When I was a little boy growing up in India, almost all transactions, flour was not sold in packets. You'd go with whatever container you had, and the merchant would measure it into his measuring cup. And if they're crooks, they do all sorts of things. They bend the bottom of the measuring cup so they'll be little. That's not how Jehovah measures things, is it? He presses it down. He shakes it so that more can be filled. And then running over. And even though there are no walls made by us or even the angels, Jehovah himself is a firewall around his people. Well, what is our situation now? What is the situation of Jerusalem now? Well, much like in Jesus' day, as it was in Zechariah's day. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," Matthew 23:37-39. "How oft would I have gathered you under my wings, but you would not." Some of you are not protected, have not sought protection under the wings of Jehovah. You've not come within Jehovah's firewall. Well, for those who are the people of God, whatever your fears are in the present or in the future, God is our protector. He will prosper us and he will keep us. But if he's not your shepherd, if you're not under his wings, and if you just will not come, we pray and we urge you to come. Lest the judgment overtakes you. Let's seek his protection. Let's rejoice in his assured and covenanted prosperity. Jehovah is not only patrolling the earth, he measures Jerusalem. All things are in his hand. And he's doing all things for the glory of his name and the prosperity of his church. That's Jehovah's greatest enterprise, the church. And may the people of God give glory to him. Along with the Apostle Paul, say that how we praise him for blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's only through him. And so may the Lord fill us with joy and confidence. No matter what horns, what powers rise up in this life. Well, let's respond by singing hymn number 60, God of the Covenant Triune Jehovah. I was considering this particular verse. Blessings on blessings through ages unending. Covenant fullness in glorious flood. Right? Spreading over, overflowing blessings. Sealed in the blood of his Son. We'll let stand and respond in praise and wonder and love and awe at his grace to us. Hymn number 60. Let's close with prayer. O God of the covenant, triune Jehovah, what measureless grace, at what measureless cost of the blood of your Son, you have purposed and predetermined to bestow upon the people of God. O Lord, we thank you for this covenant fullness, which is a glorious flood, blessings upon blessings, through ages unending. And how? Brought in by Jesus Christ and sealed in with his blood. May honor and glory and praise and majesty and adoration be to the triune Jehovah. And Lord, we pray that you will send us away with joy in our hearts, seeking always protection under your wings, for you are our firewall. You're the one who prospers your people, and you're the one who protects your people. No, May the grace, mercy, and peace of Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of us until we are brought into that new Jerusalem, overflowing, spreading out with the fullness of the mercy of God Himself. Amen and amen.